If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
By the way, good morning, everybody. It's Thursday. I want to share an offline discussion, and trust me, I'm going someplace with this. I was talking with our pals over at Rumble, and they wanted to give me some suggestions on how to make sure we get more eyes and ears onto the Rumble simulcast of this program. For those of you who don't know, the Chris Salcedo Show right here in Houston from our flagship station, KSEV. We also simulcast with TNT Radio, which is heard worldwide. We stream the broadcasts on Getter and Rumble, and there is another, let's just say there's something else in the works. There may be an addition in the future, so I'll leave it there. You know me, I don't like to count my chickens before they hatch, but there's a possibility of somebody else coming on board. So anyway, I'm having this discussion, and on Rumble they have a placeholder photo that you can put up for your broadcast that is coming up the following day. So we put a little time into this because they suggested instead of just putting up, you know, the Chris Salcedo Show or what have you, Rumble suggests that you maybe get a little creative and put something up there that's a photo that's different every single day to give a little more of an indication that it's a different flavor of show every single day, which it is. We don't do the same show every day here. So I said, okay, so I had to devote some bandwidth to this. And as you guys can see from the artwork, it's not exactly the height of the EIB network caliber, but it, you know, some of it's funny. Like yesterday we had Director Christopher Wray holding up a sign that says Biden 2,200, because Biden doesn't know what year it is. So he had Christopher Wray holding up that sign because he's a big leftist. He's a big Democrat supporter. And those who work in the upper echelon of the FBI and those who work in the upper echelon of the DOJ are corrupt. And they are using their offices to target and harass and dispirit conservatives. So that got a lot of people laughing and chuckling and people tuning in to Rumble ahead of the broadcast. So yesterday's, which would have been today, today's, when I put this up, I put a picture of the American flag, money with cutting spending, debt, and taxes. Now, I can tell you that the level of engagement before the show was about one third of what it was from the previous day. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is because, A, I've got to learn to market better, because really what I'm going to be talking about is the political impact of the decision that was made on the debt ceiling. But I'm also, I think this is a wonderful indicator of where our society is. You're being spent into oblivion, and your country is on the verge of going belly up because of its profligate, irresponsible spending. And there's only a third of the people, and I think this is pretty consistent across the board, a third of the people only recognize what's going on and why it's so dangerous to them. It's like, oh, you're going to be talking about money? I don't want to talk about money or finances. So in other words, my bad for not putting out a good marketing and saying it probably would have been better to put Speaker Kevin McCarthy's mug up there saying debt ceiling deal, devastating for McCarthy or something like that. Because as you all know, a lot of you are politicos who also use this program as an information source. Don't get me wrong, but many of you are engaged in politics. But the minute I put up something up there, and I've seen this, and it's not just in the Salcedo Show on radio. I've seen this on some of the ratings in certain segments. I mean, we can clock down to the minute of who, how many people are tuning into certain segments. Whenever I start talking about how you put food on your table to feed your family and keep a roof over your head and protect your family's financial interest to do what you and your family want, the minute I start talking about economics, people like click, click, they turn out, they don't want to see it. They don't want to hear, they don't want to see it. Damned if I know why, because frankly, folks, as I have always said to you, part of the, there are three legs to that stool of conservatism. And one of them is our economic prowess, our economic prosperity. That is, frankly, the key to everything we do. It's what keeps us free, our economic prosperity. And the socialists and the Democrats want to undermine it all and put it, they want to cap how much you can make. They want the government to be able to tell you how much you can make, and then they want to confiscate the rest. And that should be offensive. It's un-American. Bernie Sanders used to be the only one who's out there proposing stuff like this. But now you got TV personalities and left-wing nut jobs in the Congress who are like, oh, yeah, well, since Bernie laid the trail, why don't we just start talking about that, making the government the arbiter of how much money you can make? And there's a word for that. Communism. And that's where the Democrat Party is, and their supporters and their voters, because their voters are stupid enough to think that they're going to take money away from the rich and they're going to give it to them. And they may give some scraps here and there. But the lion's share will be retained for the ruling class, which, frankly, those who vote for the ruling class are stupid enough to think they'll ever share. So anywho, that's where I wanted to start today, because we're going to have to talk about the debt ceiling. It passed last night, and I'm looking on the Getter chat right now, and folks are questioning President Donald J. Trump. Pushrod is questioning Donald J. Trump and his judgment. Let's see, over on the Rumble chat, I don't mind ranty. I guess it's me, ranty Chris. Chris on a rant. Just don't do it on TV. Well, what do you call the preamble? I mean, I don't think the preamble is a rant. The preamble is it's what we leave. It's what we set the table with every day over on the Newsmax show. And because I'm a lover of the Constitution, I adopted the term preamble. Now, not that girl over in Rumble said Trump's fault, of course. Well, I think I know where. See, not that girl. I think I know where Pushrod was going with this. Because, as you know, Kevin McCarthy has had the support of President Trump, and President Trump has been supported by Kevin McCarthy. And this debt deal that was done last night was crap. It was crap. There's no other way to say it. We went from a modest proposal that I could get behind, you could get behind, that was put up by the Republicans. And see, this may be more instruction and more knowledge than you wanted, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. The Republicans proposed $5 trillion in reduced spending over 10 years. A modest, modest, modest cut. Not even a cut. See, they got me doing it. It's not a cut. It's a reduction in the rate of overspending. What Kevin McCarthy had put together and passed in the House of Representatives did not represent a cut. It was not a cut. A cut is when you spend $10 one week and the next week you spend $9. That is a cut. What Kevin McCarthy did was when you spent $10 one week and you were forecast to spend $20 the next week, Kevin McCarthy said, let's just spend $15 the next week. He reduced the rate of spending. I know I tried to simplify it as best I can. Now, we went from reducing and setting us on a path toward getting back to fiscal sanity to freezing next year Joe Biden's unacceptably high spending, which is driving inflation, which you're all benefiting from, air quotes, benefiting from, you know, from quadrupling, quintupling the price of eggs, quintupling and quadrupling the price of feed, which has a problem with down the chain, fuel, all of this nonsense, monetary policy and energy policy from the Biden regime, conspiring to screw you over, over some desire to control you. It's really sick if you think about it. So anyway, what the Republicans did, those who voted for this, said, we accept Joe Biden's spending priorities. We accept it. We're going to put our GOP brand on it. By the way, that spending cut 3% off our national defense while our enemies are increasing their national defense spending. You want to know where the rubber meets the road, folks? Our ability to protect our families, our ability to protect this country. That's where the rubber meets the road. And the Republicans said, great, we're going to bless, we're going to give a blessing to Joe Biden's gutting of our military. And then we're going to reward Joe Biden for sitting on his wrinkly ass for 90 days and doing nothing on the debt ceiling. And we're going to give him an increase the following year. That was the deal. Now, I got a Republican who was supporting this deal on the Salcedo show yesterday. He really got angry at me because I complimented him for coming on and talking to a conservative. He insisted he was a conservative, too. Maybe I'll tee that up for you so you can hear the exchange. And long story short, folks, this is just the Uniparty. Welcome to the Uniparty. More Democrat votes passed this thing yesterday in the House than did Republican votes from a Republican speaker, from a Republican House. I'll be right back. The Chris Salcedo Show, the voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
You should hear what Chris Smith is talking about.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' long-awaited official entry into the 2024 presidential campaign. It has happened, as we've been forecasting through the week. But his clever idea to launch his tilt at the ultimate title on Elon Musk's Twitter Space platform
went a little bit haywire. Oops.
For a full half an hour, his audio-only appearance on Twitter was ruined by a constant glitch-ridden live stream, and the critics went feral. I know how frustrating this can be. You prepare all sorts of wonderful things to say, to explain, you know, the evidence to back it up, and all of a sudden the gremlins get their say. All the news giants led with the technical problems, which is very unfortunate for Ron DeSantis, not covering his content in this opening salvo. What was shaping as a media masterstroke on Twitter was marred from the start, and neither DeSantis nor Musk would have been too pleased with what transpired. I noticed that a DeSantis campaign official, though, tried to spin the gremlin-plagued event by telling NBC News, Governor DeSantis broke the internet. That should tell everything you need to know about the strength of his candidacy. Good try.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real. That's substantive. That's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Natural disasters may seriously threaten civilization in future. Yet the mainstream media peddles a pseudo-scientific man-made climate crisis. A major cosmic event would provide a real challenge for civilization. An asteroid strike may induce an ice age and major crop failures. And a solar coronal mass ejection that knocks out much of the world's electrical and communications systems would make today's problems look trivial. A solar coronal mass ejection hit Earth's magnetosphere in September 1859, and induced the largest geomagnetic storm on record. People in northeastern United States could read a newspaper by the light of the Aurora Borealis. Telegraph systems failed, and some telegraph operators received electric shocks. If such a solar storm happened today, power grids, GPS systems, telephones, and the internet could be disabled for an extended period.
Be a part of the conversation.
Free speech has a home.
So give yourselves a round of applause.
Let's get on with the show!
TNT Radio. This is the Chris Salcedo Show. Our lines are now open. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310.
TNT.
Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Folks, this debt ceiling deal was so bad. That's when you all say, how bad was it? It was so bad that the FBI and DOJ, they just targeted Republicans. That is now targeting Republicans, targeting Catholics, targeting parents. The GOP said, oh, great, here's a raise. Here's a raise. Increased funding for the DOJ and the FBI. By the way, I'm going to get into all this in the show, but Christopher Wray admitting yesterday that he is hiding a document that implicates Joe Biden took money, foreign cash, in exchange for policy, which is criminal, which is illegal, which is traitorous. The FBI admitted they had the document and they're not going to turn it over. And the Republicans said, great, let's give you a pay raise. Let's give you more money. Said the Republican Party. The Republican Party is the victim of a politicized DOJ and FBI, and the Republicans Party says, let me give you more money. Please stop attacking us. The FBI and the Department of Injustice excused Hillary Clinton, who they said they had evidence that she broke the law, but they excused an investigation on her. But according to the Durham report, they launched an investigation against President Trump with zero evidence. And the Republicans said, here's your money. The Republicans said, here's our voters' money. I was gratified and astonished and disgusted when I saw Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch, tweet that out yesterday. That the Republicans rewarded the malfeasance and illegality of the DOJ and the FBI by giving them more money. This is a two-year deal. It was just passed last night. A two-year deal took it out of the presidential election. Our presidential candidates won't even have the option to debate the profligate and destructive spending this government has undertaken because of Republicans agreeing with socialists. Republicans agreeing with socialists is a quick way to destroy your country, and we're watching it right in front of our eyes. Now, I was trying to be gracious here to Congressman Mike Flood, saying, hey, man, being a supporter of this thing, I'm a conservative and I'm against this thing, this debt ceiling deal that you're going to be voting for. You were courageous, I was trying to tell him, maybe didn't come across that way, for coming on and talking with me. But this is how it all went down on television yesterday.
Listen. Congressman Mike Flood of Nebraska is urging all of his Republican colleagues to ignore the critics and pass the Biden-McCarthy debt ceiling compromise bill. He joins us now. Congressman, thank you very much. It takes a lot of guts to come and talk to a conservative about this thing. It's being called a compromise bill, Congressman. The Speaker had issued modest reductions in spending over 10 years. And from that, we're being handed a bill that increases Joe Biden's already irresponsible spending by 1%. I used an analogy in the preamble. If my wife comes to me and says, let's spend $100, and I say, that's crazy, we've only got 20, and then she goes ahead and spends 50, wouldn't I be crazy of saying that I saved a whole bunch of money? And isn't that what a lot of Republicans are asking us to do with this debt deal?
You know what? First of all, I am a conservative, and I also understand that when you come to Washington, you have to get things done. I ran brand new last November, and basically the question was, what was I going to do about spending? I said I was going to spend less. This bill spends $2.1 trillion less. And if we don't take this deal, I guarantee we'll get what Joe Biden wants, and that's a clean debt ceiling. And that doesn't work. That's failure. Why are we always talking about throwing the dive bomb at the football game so we can go 99 yards when it's, isn't it better to go four downs on our way to the end zone? This is what makes sense. This is what the American people want. They want their country to spend less. This spends $2.1 trillion less.
No, it doesn't. That's just not true. I knew it wasn't true, and I pressed him on it. I said, no, sir, this freezes spending at Joe Biden's level for next year, and then it increases spending by 1% the following year. That's not spending less. That's spending more by definition. Now, what he's talking about is projections. He's saying if we stick to this deal, which, by the way, it's only aspirational. There's nothing in this debt deal that forces Congress to stick to any of that money, those proposed savings. There's no mechanism, no protection for the taxpayers. So Mr. Flood is saying it will spend less only if you stick to it, and there is no binding law to make Congress stick to it. There is nothing binding in this debt deal that makes Congress stick to it. Now, you guys tell me. When was the last time this government spent less when it was given a choice? Never. Never. It never happens. So Mr. Flood was shooting sunshine up my rear end, or trying to anyway. This does not spend less. It spends markedly more, billions and billions and billions of dollars more that we don't have. Overspends billions and billions and billions of dollars more than we don't have. So let's take some phone calls, shall we? Mark, you're first. Welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show on the Voice of Texas and TNT Radio.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks for your program, as always. Conservative economics just got buried yesterday. Mm-hmm. I've been following, and as you have probably following the federal government since the days of Rush and the days of Reagan, and very disappointed.
Well, let me ask you a question.
There's really nothing positive to say about this.
And
it's really amazing that. I mean, I watched the whole thing went through, saw it go through the Rules Committee, which mm-hmm. I was kind of encouraged, because at the Rules Committee, you know, it was a 7-6 vote, and all the Democrats voted against it. But then in the final vote, you got more Democrats voting for this than Republicans.
Yes, and according to Matt Gaetz, there is a rule that they agreed with the Speaker on a vacating of the chair. And this was one of the conditions. If you try to ram through milquetoast, anti-conservative bills by getting Democrats to help you, that's an automatic disqualifier. I think there are some in the Freedom Caucus who are going to try to go down that road. I'm not certain, but they may.
Well, I think that's our only thing, is us as conservatives, or us as Republicanism, who believe in Republicanism, who believe in conservative economics, which... At this point, if you believe in conservative economics, I call myself a Republican, but I believe in conservative economics, and that is the economics that I came into the party with. That's what I voted for.
Sure,
that's what I'll continue to vote for. I'll continue to support. But at this point, the only thing we have left going for us is go with the conservative wing. And it was disappointing to me. I watched your program yesterday on Newsmax. Great job with bringing on that congressperson. And I watched also, I'm a devoted watcher of Newsmax, and thanks for being on there. But I watched also Rob Schmidt had some his guest on, and brought Marjorie Taylor Greene on. Marjorie Taylor Greene is, you know, completely abandoned conservative economics in favor of saying, "Oh yeah, well, we're going to get the appropriations
societal what they're doing."
Mark, you still there? Mark, are you still there?
Big issue. issue, then all of a sudden that you're going to make it up in the small issue. Well, we're going to get control in the appropriations process. How is that going to happen?
Well, no, it's what they're talking about is having 12 appropriations bills. They're actually going to do a budget, and then they're just going to have Mitch McConnell conspire with Chuck Toomer and undermine that and pass another John Cornyn omnibus. We know how it all works. You know, I was going to ask you a question, Mark, but apparently I don't have time because the music's playing. I'll just say it then. What was the one issue, the one big issue that I really had a problem with President Trump on? The one big issue was spending. He didn't believe in cutting any spending. He thought we could grow our way out of our economic problems. He didn't recognize just how devastating, how crippling. Folks, the debt is keeping our country from achieving full economic prosperity. And it's only going to get worse. The more we overspend and the higher those interest rates go. Mark, great discussion. Thank you. More of your calls. Next, the Chris Salcedo Show, the voice of Texas in TNT Radio.
Here's some more potentially bad news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. American companies getting into bed with transgender activists are losing billions of dollars in market value as consumers band together to boycott the brands. Serbia's military has issued a warning over growing violence in the breakaway region of Kosovo, vowing a harsh response if ethnic Albanian authorities start killing or displacing Serbs in the Serb-majority area. And Russia's top diplomat claims the West's role in Ukraine is tantamount to supporting genocide.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Black Lives Matter use of confrontation and violence has attracted criticism from other civil rights groups. Barbara Reynolds, a veteran of the 1960 civil rights movement, writes that many civil rights activists agree with BLM's goals, but fundamentally disagree with their approach. According to Reynolds, BLM uses confrontational and divisive tactics rather than proven protest methods. The BLM movement protesters have harassed presidential candidates, and critics argue it has become a movement concerned with instilling fear in politicians, white people, and police. BLM has been blamed for worsening race relations in America. Federal Bureau of Investigation has found that homicides of police officers have risen since 2014, and some observers identify Black Lives Matter protests as a contributing case to an anti-police environment. The FBI reported that perpetrators of attacks on police in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Dallas, Texas, stated they were influenced by the Black Lives Matter movement. Adding to the concern that BLM encourages anti-police violence are statements by BLM endorsing historical extreme-left anti-police terrorists.
The ones that matter most are the children. There is a special place in South Dakota, a place of hope, love, safety, and opportunity for Native American children. This place is St. Joseph's Indian School. Here, we preserve traditions, provide Lakota kids a safe place to learn, attend to the mind, body, heart, and spirit of every child in our care.
As a father, I feel very good about leaving my kids here, and they have way more opportunities here.
I can come on campus and I can feel the good vibes, and the children, they can really grow.
Together, we are giving Lakota children brighter futures and a proud connection to their past. To learn more, go to helplakotakids.org. Today.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, everybody. You got the Chris Salcedo Show. Our telephone number is 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Before I get to more phone calls, because I think this impacts all of us, let me just ask you, how long can you put money on the credit card? How long can you do that? I mean, live beyond your means. And I'm not just talking about going out for dinner once a week and putting on, you know, one dinner on the credit card. I'm talking about spending, well, let's see. They're spending around $7 to $8 trillion, and they're bringing in $5 trillion. So basically, they're spending roughly over a third more. Can't say half. A third more than they're bringing in every single year. Every single year. We're at $32 trillion in debt. And with yesterday's debt ceiling deal, the Republicans have said, we are greenlighting getting our nation up to $52 trillion in debt. How many of you can live like that forever? You can't. Sooner or later, your creditors are going to come calling. And it's going to mean fiscal disaster for you. So, and by the way, what do you think it does to our reserve currency? That the confidence in the American dollar is the world's reserve currency. When you've got children, these people are children, thinking that they can overspend like this. That's the government's job, is to spend money. No, it's not. That's not your job. You're not doing your job when you are overspending by this amount of money and when you're not doing well at all. To get the proper fiscal house in order so we can have stability in this country to fund our defenses and to make sure that, what I meant by eating into our prosperity, I mentioned this with a caller. Do you guys realize we are approaching $1 trillion in interest alone on the debt? So if they're bringing in $4 trillion, $4.5 trillion in taxes, and $1 trillion is going just for interest on the debt alone, that's a huge amount of money that can't be spent for defense, that can't be spent. All you libs out there, all you left-wing nut jobs who think that the government owes you a living, who think that the government must subsidize you in everything you do. Where are you going to pay for all your programs that you want when the money has to go and service the debt? $1 trillion. That's a lot of flipping money. So that's where all this goes. And that's a great example. If you are paying one fifth of your paycheck to interest alone on your credit cards, what do you have left for your other bills, your other responsibilities, and maybe if you want to have a little fun every now and again? And that's exactly what is plaguing the United States of America, because we have children. This is not a partisan issue. They're all, by virtue of this vote yesterday, complicit in it. They've been complicit in it for many, many moons. But this just another reminder. And how much longer are we, the people, going to put up with that? Because I can guarantee you, folks, when the whole house of cards comes crashing down, it won't be any of these shrubs in government who are paying the price. It's going to be you. It's going to be you. 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. I spoke of him earlier, Push Rod, on the Getter chat, and he is on the line right now. Hey, man, glad you made it. Yellow Push Rod, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I got you, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, I'll tell you, Chris, I am just so mad I could spit fire. And I honestly, I don't know where to begin. When you look at this whole picture, everything, Trump, DeSantis, elections, the Republicans, the Democrats, the two-party system, which is a total farce.
Yep.
And where this nation is headed, and China infiltrating all our industry and spying on us and wars and owning, buying land, everything. And it's almost overwhelming to the point where you just wonder what in the good God hell is going on in this country. And you gotta know that would we really be here where we're at right now had all the cheating in the 2020 election not happened? And Donald Trump was in the White House, would we be where we're at today? Everybody's, we're all told, oh, consequences, the elections have consequences. Yeah, well, so does cheating in in elections have consequences, mm-hmm. and then not doing anything about it.
Well, no, it's even worse than that, Push. It's even worse than that. It's not just not doing anything about it. It's fully funding it. It's fully the Democrats, the greatest insult the Democrats and the socialists do to America is that they have instituted mechanisms to make sure that they pick our pockets, that they get taxpayer money. Let me give you an example. Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood slaughters babies, right? Slaughters black babies, slaughters Mexican babies, Latino babies, slaughters white babies. And the Democrats have made it so we give them $500 million in taxpayer dollars every single year to do the slaughtering. And then Planned Parenthood takes that money, writes checks, and then donates to Democrats. So we are forced to fund the deaths of our own children in the womb. We are forced to fund a Democrat party that is working to take away our rights, our liberties, and our freedoms. And that is the ultimate insult. And now you just saw the Republican Party yesterday after we've all been treated, thanks to the Durham report, to confirmation the DOJ and the FBI is compromised, that they are a partisan organization. Now, they're the Democrats' FBI, the Democrats' DOJ. Now that we know they're a partisan organization, the Republicans said, great, let me write out a bigger paycheck for you guys.
Well, see, that's one facet of this huge picture.
Yeah.
Where the people up there in D.C., whether Republican or Democrat, the Republicans don't seem to care, but they have found out that they can be as corrupt as they want to be, as lawless as they want to be, and they can get away with it. They all get away with it. Nothing ever happens. No one's ever indicted. No one goes to jail. I mean, a couple of people might lose their job, but they just get shuffled around. They still make money. They get on TV.
You know, I've been told, Push, the last couple of days by lawmakers in Texas, and let me just ask your opinion on this. The minute conservatives get to the Texas House, they're sat down in something called an orientation meeting. They are surrounded by mob bosses, basically, who tell them to get their mind right. All the promises you made to your constituents, forget about that. All of your values, forget about those. You're going to have to plug into this corrupt system that we have here in the Texas House. And governing is different than campaigning, they will tell you. So you've got to abandon everything that you believe in and just do what we tell you to do. How much of that do you think is going on Capitol Hill?
I don't doubt that goes on daily.
Yeah.
But how do we fix it? I mean, Chris, with all due respect, voting is not going to fix this.
Well,
this is going to take something far greater.
I'm a big fan of convention of states. I'm a big fan of convention of states.
That's never going to come.
Well, you know what? Back during, after Jimmy Carter's administration, do you know how many states they got close to? They were two states shy of calling a convention back before Reagan took office. They were two states shy. Do you know what happened? The people in Washington, D.C., the power mongers of both parties, the Mitch McConnells of Washington, D.C., they got scared out of their minds. They were frightened out of their minds. So what they did was they passed a law that allegedly addressed, the big push back then was a balanced budget amendment, ironically enough. So what they did was they passed a law that would have balanced a budget. But they built into the law poison pills that they knew wouldn't pass judicial muster. But they marketed it, said, oh, we heard the people. We heard, no need to call a convention. No need to do that. We heard you. You were serious. Okay, we heard you. So they passed this law. And then the law took all the wind out of the sails of those inside out of the conservative convention of states movement. And then they all disbanded. They all went home. A year later, that law was struck down by the Supreme Court. We got played. We got played by those who wanted to maintain absolute, unfettered, uncontrolled power. And here we are, $32 trillion in debt. That is a testament of failure to every single person who has been in that legislature. Every single one of them. It's a monument to their failure. So we can't, look, they can't do it. They've already shown us they can't do it. It's time we did. It's time we did.
It's going to implode.
If we let them, and again, and I get push, I feel your cynicism, and I think you're right, because as I noted on the Rumble chat today, when people heard I was going to be talking about debt ceiling, it's like, nobody wants to hear about something that could wipe out their family. What? I mean, this country has never had to live in abject poverty that the individuals in Washington are teeing us up for. And maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe misery is what's going to wake people up, because I sure as hell apparently can't. 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Having a conversation with the chatters on Getter. You folks on Rumble were privy to the conversation as well. I'll finish that in the next break. Telephone number is 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. If you are on TNT Radio, I would invite you to dial the phone numbers that you have to go to tntradio.live, depending on your geographic location. Those are the numbers you have to call. Now, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Texas, Dan Patrick, he deserves kudos, as does the entirety of the Senate, because they went to work. They did work. They did the work of the people of Texas. As I have told you, the House gaveled in and they started, you know, partying it up. It was said to me that the House has conversations with their conservative members saying, you've joined a fraternity, and the fraternity is complete with alcohol, apparently, judging by some photos that are floating around. It's just one big frat party by the Republicans who join the Democrats, the non-workers, the lazy people like Charlie Guerin, who try to parlay their elected office into paydays, which he has done quite successfully. But the lieutenant governor had a different work ethic. Actually, he had a work ethic, whereas they didn't have any work ethics over there in the House and their leadership. They are lazy. The Republicans who run the Texas House are just like socialist Democrats. Lazy, entitled, spoon-fed, rich. And they don't work for you, the people. They work for themselves. And I can sense the frustration in the lieutenant governor's voice, because I sense it and I know it and I feel it, as does the majority of Texas. Because, frankly, folks, the people over in the Texas House who call themselves Republicans in leadership are just a bunch of screw-offs. Unserious, vacuous people, as Rush Limbaugh used to call them, plastic banana, good time rock and rollers. And that's what they are. And they're doing it at our expense. And the lieutenant governor is just, he's not happy with it. And he knows it needs to stop. And I think he's, even though he doesn't come out and ask the people of Texas, he's informing you, the people of Texas needed to ask themselves, what are you going to do about it, about these shrubs, these partiers, these fraternity boys and girls who join Democrat socialists in irresponsibility?
I'm tired of the dysfunction of the House in passing legislation to us in a timely manner, and I'm tired of these points of orders that are called on good legislation like the virtual school bill. I'm tired of it. I have begged and pleaded with the House every session, send me your legislation sooner. This session, once again, we received 1,250 bills with about three to 3.5 weeks to go. 900 of those with 2 weeks to go. We can't hear them.
It's physically impossible. It's impossible. Now, there's a reason why this happened. And by the way, that the points of order, folks, were teed up so that Democrats could kill conservative bills. The points of order can be called, oh, you misspelled, you forgot the E on the word the, so you got to send this bill back to committee. So it gets thrown off of calendars, and then the clock runs out because Speaker Dade Phelan, along with his Republican leadership, in collusion with socialist Marxist Democrats, said, we're going to kill those bills. We're not conservatives. We hate conservatives. We hate our own voters. And we tell them what's good for them. And so good conservative legislation that were the priorities of the majority of voters in the state of Texas, including you Democrats out there, died. Died because the Democrats told Speaker Phelan, we don't like it. And so he said, okay, we're going to round the clock and then we're going to allow you to do these points of orders so you can kill good legislation.
It's tough to find which ones are the good ones and the bad ones to pass. Secondly, on April 3rd, we had passed 121 bills. They had passed seven.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean by lazy. That's what I mean by entitled. That's what I mean by a bunch of rich brats who look at their time in session as just a party at your expense. The people in the Senate, both Republicans and Democrats, had a work ethic. They went to work like you go to work every day. The people in the Texas House, like Charlie Guerin, and I'm sorry, the tempo and the tenor of the House is set by the Speaker, and the Speaker set up a party atmosphere. And they went up there and they didn't do their work like lazy teenagers. They sat on their collective asses and didn't do the work of Texas.
They spent the entire month of March basically doing resolutions and going away for long weekends. Nothing was done in March. Even by the third week of March, I think they passed 80 bills. We were up to over 300.
The Senate showed that a legislative body can work, can do work. So the idea that the House couldn't do any work is belied by the fact that the Senate actually did it. So those of you who are out there are making excuses for these shrubs in the so-called Republican leadership in the Texas House, screw you. You have no leg to stand on. Because if you're going to sit there and say, well, you ask the impossible. Well, guess what? The Senate did the impossible.
We had almost all of our 90% of everything that we voted out was to them by the end of mid to late April or the very first week of March of May. We got everything out. And here's the problem. They don't hear under their calendar Senate bills really till the last 10 days to 2 weeks. And because of the points of order and chubbing, the Democrats have total control of the House chamber.
Yeah. Chubbing. This is a setup. This is Speaker Dade Phelan, who colludes with Marxists. Okay, which bills do you want to chub? Okay, we're going to put those on calendars. And we're going to schedule them after we get back from vacation. We're going to schedule them to last 10 days. Do you guys think you guys can delay and stall to make sure that these things don't get passed? Because we hate the conservatives over in the Senate, and we hate conservative voters, just like you do. And this is the game. This is the game that we're supposed to accept as normal.
Total control. So we're a Republican majority state, and the rules of the House are set up to allow the minority to kill bills they don't like.
There you go. We're a majority Republican state, and the rules of the House, which, by the way, folks, if the Democrats ever do get power back, they will change the rules with the support of Speaker Phelan. And Speaker Phelan will become a Democrat. I firmly believe this. So he can maintain power, because that's what it's all about. Dustin Burroughs will support the changing of the rules that will stop conservatives from doing to left-wing extremist bills what the Democrats are doing to conservative bills right now. It won't be a two-way street. It'll all change. And in private drunken moments, they'll probably tell you this.
And it's just dysfunctional. the points of order on conference committee reports. We've never seen it like that. I mean, you can get a point of order because the bill analysis, someone on the staff made a mistake and wrote the wrong word, misspelled something, got something out of order, and you kill the whole bill. People have worked, House members as well, and senators have worked a year and a half before session. Various groups, Democrat and Republican, have worked on legislation. And it gets there after hours and hours and weeks of work, and someone says, oh, there's a word misspelled there. Send that back.
Send that back. Now, folks, when they send it back, that prevents them from voting on it. Because a lot of this legislation is stuff that is supported by Republicans, Democrats, but special interests who have bought off the Republican leadership and bought off the vast majority of Democrat socialists in that body, in the Texas House, don't want it voted on. And they know it would be political suicide for them if they voted against it, and so they just don't vote on it. You understand how the game is played now? Let's just say, okay, there's a bill to approve the sale of widgets, okay? Whatever it is. A special interest group says, pays off a Democrat or one of Speaker Phelan's lieutenants, I don't want that bill heard. But they will tell their benefactor, but it's a good bill. It's freedom. It's liberty. And it will be good for my Democrats. It'll be good for my Republicans. Yeah, but I don't want it. And I'm paying you a lot of good money to kill it. So rather than have to take a vote that they would have to go home and explain to their constituents why they voted against their constituents' best interest, they just kill the bill so they don't have to. That's how the flipping game is played. And I don't want to play anymore. Because our lives are not a game, Speaker Phelan. Our lives are not a game for you to play with, you and your socialist Democrats. And I'm sick and tired of this as well.
The only reason the Texas Senate passes the conservative agenda that we do session after session after session is because in 2015, when I became lieutenant governor, the rules were changed to benefit the majority. People get frustrated if they elect you and you go and say, well, you know, the Democrats did this. They chubbed this bill. I mean, you shouldn't be able to get up for 10 minutes and talk about artwork in Italy to kill a bill.
Folks, the rules are set up by the Texas Republicans in the House to benefit socialist Democrats for their ability to kill legislation. So they are betrayers of their party. They are betrayers of their voters. They are betrayers of the majority of the people of the state of Texas. And the only people who can do anything about it are you. How much of this do you think that I just played went on in the federal legislature with the debt ceiling deal? I'll bet you a lot. Hour two of the Salcedo Show, folks. We're going to focus on, believe it or not, race. Coming up next on The Voice of Texas and TNT Radio.